Hallo, hier ist Felicia Herrschaft heute mit einer weiteren Universalsendung über das Kosovo. Und zwar stelle ich heute verschiedene Projekte vor, die auch noch gerade im Kosovo stattfinden. Das eine ist eben ein freies Radio dort, Urban FM. Da hören wir gleich einen Auszug, ein Gespräch, das Dadan Islami geführt hat mit Ronald Jones und mit Dirk Fleischmann und Nicola Dietrich in dem Studio in Pristina. Und sie reden dort über das Exit-Projekt. Dann hören wir noch ein Gespräch mit Skelzen Malici, der als Journalist in Pristina arbeitet und auch dort eben zu den kritischen intellektuellen Stimmen gehört. Und zum Schluss werde ich Auszüge spielen, und zwar von einem Interview mit Lulieta Bunitschki. Sie ist Direktor des Kosovo Gender Studies Institute. Aber jetzt zuerst ein Auszug einer Radiosendung aus Pristina. Dadan Islami.
Sot e shpërdojnë tre mësate shumë interesante, ose një temë shumë interesante, shumë me shumë të ashtu rikë më bëgët e misionë. Për është një gjurë angleze, një më në kështë për sërë shumica, ata si mërë mërë të tajnë që zotë, sa për këtejnë për gjurë të misionë, është një temë që më ka mundu mu Eu tento limpar na rádio do Rio, limpar-me espetacular, eu vou te dar um bom dia de comprar, eu acho que trago o dono, mas trago o dono, um bom dia de pizza, né? Tem, já me dá, já vai com fome de corte, já posso ficar piscina para mim, o que é para o bordo, para fazer, como se for, não é? Vamos mostrar o dono, tirando tudo, era a Sati, era a Sati, ela não pode fazer o negócio, era a Sati, só um segundo, então, por favor, diz, bora, vai, que foi, que eu fui para a minha, para o bordo, nunca posso me sentir, nunca posso saltar, vou me dar. Para o parque, mas não para o mas fazer estás cantando o caso, estás de vir do que te saia na sua posição, que estamos a ver se como eu sou eu. Diante da Germania, fazia de lugar à América, após o professor, doutor Churucho, me recebeu uma segura que só virem uma carinha de uma morte que possa apresentar, com o destino, na porta do projeto de Missing Identities, que é o plano masculino, né, Exit, que apresentou um pouco que eu sei, a reunião, a organização germana, que se me dá por aí, se não se dá por aí, se não Pas problem war, dass ich dir jetzt schon, dass ich mir von dir das Kapot schon, schon ist es wieder schon Kapot schon. Ich muss wieder raus, ich sage, was wollen ich verliere die Tiere. Ich habe doch von dort zu sprechen, ich habe von dir von der Kultur, ich habe mir das von gut das Wort von dir zu dann von ich sehe auf der Pasta in Berlin in Frankfurt. Kijk, ja, top. Goeie idee, idee tussen het thema. Het is opnieuw persoonlijk. Ronald Jones, corporate manager, zit in de hoek. Buurt aan het thema Dushme, en check hoe je de zaal bij hoe je een interessant man is opnieuw. Met je collega's en artiesten, Kosovo, alle tijd met elkaar. Je staat in Dissing, het park, het is een grote leven in het park, in het park, in het dorp. Hoe dat bij jullie bijvoorbeeld doen met niet fijn, of op iets aan Dushme, met hoe je për njerëzit që janë ubjetën në luftër e nga përna dhe sëpati putojnë në një ubjetë. Për që dhe në restorantë të tjeqa atë jera, për që njësë të njëllë e punda pëzën në fërzimit, dhe dhe putojnë këtë edhe për njëkën të cilën ta e mëni. Very warm welcome to you. Gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we are really very pleased to have you here today. I have introduced Dr. Ronald Johnson, being here in Pristina as a part of this project, lecturing on missing identity. Dirk Fleischmann, coordinator of the project, missing identity, and the name of the institute, I can pronounce it in German.
We are from the Stellschule Art Academy in Frankfurt.
Very well. And Mrs. Nicola Dittig.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Very pleased to have you today. I was impressed by your work. It's long, 30 years of work. Today I was there with other students at the lecture. Interesting topics. Would you tell us what brings you here? What's the idea? What are the plans, aims in future?
Well, I'm here just as one small part of the larger project that Dirk and Nicole are organizing. But the part that I'm playing, the role that I'm playing, is offering a series of lectures this week, seminars, on the subject of identity. And we looked at, in the first instance at the notion of how art is identified. What does it mean to be making art? And then the next day we looked at the notion of evil, whether or not art could actually do evil. Today we talked about the identity of victims, and tomorrow we'll be talking about the identity of artists. So all around the subject of identity, but particularly works of art, the subject of evil, the notion of victims, and finally the artists, which it seemed to me were important subjects to discuss.
It's your first time, Christina.
Yes.
And as we discussed yesterday, I told the listeners, I'm going to go back in English. The idea of that park up in the hill being turned, you have worked in many parks before, many projects.
Yes. Yeah.
Would you point on this quickly? What projects, what places, what parks?
Well, there. Maybe I would just single out two. One is a project in that I've done in several different institutions, but one is one kind of project I've done is to go to a mental institution and work with the patients directly in designing a garden. And generally, we ask them to imagine what paradise might look like. And so, for example, in Greece, we worked with at an institution on Crete, and the patients imagined that. paradise for them would be health. And so the garden was filled with plants that had a medicinal purpose or history. And then they designed the garden, and then they actually built the garden. So there's that kind of hands-on community cooperation of the project. But also, there's a garden that I designed in Hamburg near the train station, or right at the train station. And it's a very formal garden with a certain kind of historical resonance. And so there are different formats in which these gardens could take place. And the one that you mentioned to me yesterday seemed like a remarkable opportunity for the students who are involved in this identity to become involved with.
So, back to the other guests, the coordinator, Dirk.
Dem Auszug aus der Sendung von Dadan Islami, dem kurzen Gespräch mit Ronald Jones, spiele ich jetzt auch noch einen kurzen Interview-Ausschnitt mit Ronald Jones und dann das Interview mit Dadan Islami über die Kampagnen, die von Urban FM auch im Kosovo organisiert werden, um zum Beispiel die Bewegungsfreiheit als auch den Minderheitenschutz im Kosovo zu gewährleisten. Das, was wir gerade hören, die Musik, das ist Minatori.
So, when you did the garden project in Brazil, so
yeah.
They had a different structure, I think, as a garden. So, what do you think is, or how do you use your experience here to build a garden? Probably, how would you do that?
Well, I certainly want to do it with the students, but I think right now it's with parks and gardens, it's always a matter of selling it to the local authorities. I think if we can visualize it, give them an idea of what it's going to look like, and we can also give them a sense of what it might mean to the people here.
Yeah.
We already have KFOR's willingness to do all the engineering work, you know, because you do have to move earth around and put in electrical and plumbing lines. But then maybe... if it seems to gain traction, the idea, I'm going to depend on local folks in Pristina to advise us on where we might go to get financing or in what we would say in English, in-kind donations from nurseries. I mean, I worked one time on a park in Greece where NATO provided all the planting materials. So that park was done for almost no money because it was designed by mental patients and they actually planted it. So the labor was taken care of and the plants were taken care of.
And what do you think if there's a kind of designing a garden, has this something to do how the young students design now their own life?
Yeah, I think so.
How it's possible, because right. You can't look over a long time of experience of making art like you probably.
That's true.
But they have to. Is there a similarity between garden projects and the identity as a design, new design?
Well, we'll find out through this process. But it could well be that it should be a again, this is just ideas we're kicking around, but that it should be a park actually just for children and adolescents and not adults. That is to say, maybe it should have a sound stage where concerts could go on and a playground, so that you begin to build these relationships between different parties at the youngest possible moment in people's lives. Or maybe it should be just some place where everyone can go for a certain kind of quiet reflection. Because the setting, on the one side, you look down to the city, but on the other side, you look off into the landscape, mountains. And it's one is the past and one is the future, and it's a very interesting juxtaposition.
Yesterday I talked to this hip-hop artist, and he told me if he's walking around here because of corruption and everything, what is going on, everything is a provocation. They have no electricity. They need it for their productions. No streets, really, and so on. So how do you deal with this feeling that there is that life is here a provocation for the inhabitants?
Well, it is certainly a city that is in repair, and it's certainly a city that doesn't yet have some of the things you and I might take for granted, like electricity on a constant basis. And, we might even, I certainly raise the question with the students of everything that Pristina needs, does it need a park right now? I mean, there's a lot of different kinds of things that could go on.
Beautifulness when you
I kind of think it could be exactly what's needed. I was telling somebody yesterday.
Und jetzt nach dem Einstieg in das Projekt Relations Missing Identity, das sozusagen das Bestreben hinterfragt, eine einheitliche Nationalität fest oder vorzuschreiben, und damit versucht eben Differenz auch herzustellen, spiele ich jetzt das Interview mit Dardan Islami, um zu zeigen, wie dort auch im Rahmen von Urban FM, dem lokalen Radiosender in Pristina, tatsächlich auch Demokratisierung entwickelt wird. Okay, what is the story of Urban FM, and how did you develop this free movement campaign? Maybe if you like.
Urban FM is a radio station that began 5 years ago, right after the war here in Kosovo. It's a youth radio station that targets 18 to 30. A group of age, old people, young people, that is. And this group makes 65% of population in Kosovo. We're a radio station, small radio station, local. We got the frequencies last year to be national, so we're working on putting the antenna to cover the whole Kosovo. We have brought a new way of radio here in Kosovo. As you all know, we only had one radio, state radio, in a communist time here in Kosovo. Right after the war, there's about 10 in Pristina, different formats. We have chosen to be alternative radio station. We play music, anything but commercial music. We do our bit promoting the local bands, local artists, dealing with issues, whatever makes news. That's what we do. and we enjoyed.
Yeah, there's, you told me yesterday there's no news, regular news in Kosovo.
Yeah,
and you
yeah. Yeah, we're working on making an independent radio service that can spread the news to all the radio stations here in Kosovo, which is about 94 radio stations, to have news desk to run, costs you money to employ 5 people. Nobody can, as you know, here it's very difficult to pay raw salaries. So we believe that having one center can be used for all 94 radio stations in Kosovo. Mm-hmm. At the top of the hour, we'll get the feed and transmit news. That's what radio is about, I think, first to inform, then entertain.
Yeah. Okay. And what are the 5 steps of the free movement campaign?
Yeah, we have worked in many campaigns as a side job until now. That sound? Won't. Okay, we go back again. We have worked on many campaigns by now. I can go through all of them. But this one is very interesting because it took us about 6 months to put this together. It's about free movement. As you all know, there are parts in Kosovo where Albanians cannot go, and there are parts in Kosovo where Serbs cannot go freely, move freely. And this is hurting us, hurting Kosovo. So we think that it's about timing now to make sure that everybody walks free in Kosovo.
Yeah.
This project is divided in 3 events. The first event is cooperation with us and Serbian radio stations in Serbian enclaves. We want to take the Prime Minister and the other ministers there. We want to put this bus route back where the Serbs can use that public transportation and walk freely. Lane number 5. This lane used to function until the 99, but since it didn't. So we want to put that back, do radio reportages in cooperation with these Serbian radio stations. Second part is the conference, seminar between us and civil society here, Serbs in Kosovo, and in Serbia, discussing the opportunities, the challenges that Kosovo faces in this year, 2005, and it's a very important year for Kosovo. And the third event is a cultural event that will involve around 100 artists, rock bands, DJs, theater plays, other music, all that in the downtown Pristina, in the avenue, in the street. This will be broadcasted live in Belgrade under the slogan of Pristina, open, free and open city. So the idea is we invite them to come back and live freely, because this is a free country, it is.
Yeah.
We consider. All this 6 months period, these 3 events will be covered by media campaign that will include billboards, public service announcements, these are TV ads, and radio jingles. We're planning to intensify the media campaign on month September, so that everybody can see how important this is. We have expertise on these kind of things. We've done many events before, like the Peace Train in 2003, where Urban FM, our radio station, managed first time to have them together, Serbs, Albanians, Romans and others, in this train on open air with the DJs from region and Europe. The message was clear then. The project was called the Road of Peace. We have used the route when in 99 Kosovars, Albanians were deported from their homes. In the same train, same route, in the camps, we have used that same route, but in a different way now, to promote peace and tolerance.
Yeah.
So that's the message is pretty clear in this campaign. We want everybody to walk free and feel free in this country. We're going to be using, as the face of campaign, we have decided to use a symbol of a red guy that stops in a traffic light and the green guy that moves, that walks. So these two characters, the red guy and the green guy, will play around on billboards and TV ads. So the green guy will insist on the red guy to move, and the red guy becomes eventually green.
Yeah.
So he walks, moves free.
Yeah.
We have presented this to many donors. many governments here in Pristina, their offices, they have embassies here. They all seem interested. So we hope, with their help, we can implement this idea. The aim of this project is to have them different levels of people involved, such as artists, such as government officials, such as minorities, civil society.
Yeah.
All them together with all the international donors.
Yeah.
So the message must be clear and supported by everybody.
Yeah.
And it will make this campaign even stronger, we believe.
If it's possible to establish this free movement, then this is one step to get
yes.
independent.
It is. International community has put the 8 standards were put for Kosovars to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
In for us to become a country.
Yeah.
To get the independent status. This is, we believe, one of the most important
yeah.
standards. This is why we picked this one to create a media campaign. Because we believe that this is the most important standard.
That it's possible to move between the municipalities.
Yes.
Yeah.
So everybody can move freely, walk freely.
Yeah.
Sell, do business, produce, buy, sell, whatever they do, freely in a normal country.
Yeah. And when the conflicts came up and the war started, 1993 you left.
1992, yes, I did.
1992.
I went to London, England, and then I went to Canada, Vancouver, where I started broadcasting radio. So
okay,
coming back,
how
yeah.
you
this is how we. Yeah.
And before 1992, or how old were you?
I was 17 when I left.
17?
Yeah, not even 18.
Okay.
Left the country not to take part in the former Yugoslav wars.
Yeah, so you.
Because as a Kosovar, I would be taken on wars in Bosnia and Croatia. I didn't want that, so I left. Went to London, where I lived for 4.5 years before I emigrated to Canada for another 3 years.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ja, das Kosovo wird sich jetzt entscheiden, ob man die Standardimplementierung diskutieren wird anhand der sozusagen fortschreitenden Demokratisierung. Ich denke, was dort nicht zu beobachten ist, ist ein verstärkter kosovo-albanischer Nationalismus. Das spiegelt sich zumindest nicht in den Projekten wider, mit denen ich dort sprechen konnte. Jetzt folgt ein kurzer Ausschnitt mit einem Gespräch mit Joschka Fischer, das letzten Samstag hier stattgefunden hat. Wie er sozusagen die Lage vor Ort einschätzt. Wie ist die Situation? Also kann man nicht auch an das anknüpfen? Also gerade die Kosovo-Intervention war ja sehr, also hat ja eigentlich eine positive Geschichte. Wie läuft das jetzt mit den Standardimplementierungen? Ist da eine Demokratisierung?
Das ist die große Chance jetzt. Es bleibt anhaltend schwierig. Es bleibt anhaltend schwierig, aber wir werden jetzt die Standarddiskussion beginnen. Weil die Statusdiskussion beginnen, nur die werden weiter, das wird nur funktionieren, wenn die Standards, was heißt Standards? Es müssen einfach die Rückkehrmöglichkeit für die Minderheiten muss geschaffen werden, die müssen eine Dezentralisierung in der Kommunalverfassung haben und das kann nicht sein, dass dass man seinen Hass oder seinen Frust einfach am serbischen Nachbarn dann entsprechend so auslässt, wie das halt so oft der Fall war. Das heißt, dass man die Notschaft gibt. Da muss ein Versöhnungsprozess stattfinden. Der ist mühselig, das weiß ich, aber gleichzeitig bedarf es diesen Minderheitenschutzes. Die Vorschläge liegen alle vor und zugleich beginnen die Statusdiskussionen. Und da denke ich, gibt es jetzt eine große Chance auf die Veränderungen, die weltweit stattfinden. Die Tatsache also, dass jetzt dieser Film, des Massenmords von Srebrenica, dieses Video, im serbischen Fernsehen gezeigt wurde und den Schock, den das ausgelöst hat, im Übrigen sollten sich das manche der Kriegsgegner auch mal zu Gemüte führen, weil ich meine, was wir uns da alles anhören mussten, das ist in der Tat, ich meine, das ist der größte Massenmord nach dem Zweiten Weltkrieg in Europa, der da stattgefunden hat. Dieses Video zeigt, wie die misshandelt und ermordet werden unter dem Segen eines Priesters. Das hat zu einer sehr positiven Veränderung jetzt geführt. Und ich hoffe, dass Serbien jetzt aufbricht, raus aus diesem Loch von der Opferrolle und Nationalismus, sondern dass sich jetzt positiv entwickeln. Das bietet dann natürlich auch Chancen für den Kosovo. Aber das alles ist nichts, wenn wir jetzt sagen, stopp die Erweiterung. Das sage ich auch klar. Also die Signale, also wenn jetzt die CDU sagt, Schluss mit der Erweiterung, Bulgarien, Rumänien auf die lange Bank. Die ganze Strategie im Balkan steht und fällt mit der Europäisierung langfristig. Aber ohne die Europäisierung hängt alles in der Luft. Und die These, das ist zu viel, das ist zu teuer, immer denn zurück ist, damals war es der Krieg tobte, als wir 100.000 von Flüchtlingen aufgenommen haben. Das alles ist viel, viel teurer und zudem ist es nicht hinnehmbar. Moralisch nicht, aber auch was unsere Sicherheit betrifft, nicht hinnehmbar. Diese auch Europa wird zum zentralen Thema gemacht werden müssen unsererseits. Und auch da werden wir die Konservativen stellen. Aber auch wiederum, wir lachen Helm Gysi. Gysi macht die Welt offener. Ich glaube es sogar. Aber lachen Helm ist rechts. Rechter geht es kaum noch, was zu machen anbetrifft. Da sind wir nicht mehr über linke Position. Was der über die Veränderung sagt, ist also aus meiner Sicht nur rechts. Der ist für eine Politik der Türen zu. Eindeutig. Der war gegen die EU-Verfassung. Will er es auch. Ich meine, das muss man alles mal sehen. Und kann man sein, nach der Devise, will ich nicht, interessiert mich nicht. Aber da gibt es also Töne, da muss ich sagen, mit Links oder gar Internationalismus hat das alles nichts mehr zu tun. Und das bezieht sich vor allen Dingen auch auf die Immigrationsfragen. Er ist auch der Meinung, sozusagen, Deutschland führt keinen Krieg, wir führen auch keinen Krieg, aber ich als letztes Mittel, wir haben bewiesen, dass für uns wirklich nur das letzte Mittel ist, nicht einfach mal so lala, das haben wir in der Irak-Frage gezeigt. Aber in Kosovo war es das letzte Mittel, es ging nicht mehr anders. Und auch in Afghanistan hat man der Tragödie viel zu lange zugeschaut. Nicht zu kurz, sondern das jeden Winter war es da, dass vor allem die Schwächsten, die Neugeborenen, eine furchtbare Blutsäure entrichten mussten. Die Humanitären wussten das, die Taliban haben sich nicht darum gekümmert, Druck war nicht möglich, ökonomisch und politisch, weil es das nicht interessiert hat. Die haben sich in völlige Isolation begeben. Auch das wird eine Auseinandersetzung werden. Und ich bin mir sicher, im Wahlkreis, wenn Frau Schein noch antritt, das deutsch-polnische Verhältnis. Wir, ich nehme mich da gar nicht aus. Kriegen das.
Nach dieser kurzen Einschätzung von Joschka Fischer folgt eben ein Gespräch mit Schgelsen Skelzen Malici. Er ist eben Philosoph und Publizist und wird mit dem Exit Contemporary Institute for Art in Pristina mit den Studierenden vor Ort auch jeweils eine wöchentliche Beilage für eine Tageszeitung dort herausgeben. Ich habe mit ihm darüber gesprochen, wie er es einschätzt, dass der Bruder von Ramush Haradinaj in Kosovo beerdigt wurde und man sozusagen dieses Grab zubetoniert hat. Das zeigt eigentlich immer noch die Ängste und Traumatisierung der Albaner gegenüber den potenziellen Angreifern, wie dort eben die Okkupatoren, die Serben, immer noch verstanden werden. Aber dazu gibt es sehr unterschiedliche Einschätzungen und das hören wir jetzt schnell.
Concrete on the grave. What? They put concrete, like they made a hard stone bottom on the grave of Haradinaj's brother, and we were really surprised that they did something. So I think they came up in this moment situation that they are still, that people, there were, I think, 10 or 20,000 people who went to that funeral, and what came up was that they are still afraid of enemies, Serbs probably, who should open the grave, maybe, because if they wouldn't fear, they wouldn't do that, probably. But so what has this to do?
There was many graves, many killings.
Yeah.
This kind of killings, 1, 2, 3 per year from after war, and it was not clear who is behind this.
Yes.
There is a couple of main tesmen in suspicious, scenarios.
Yeah.
And one is, okay, some said Serbs or some secret Serbian secret services or which controlled by them.
Yeah.
Especially after Ramush was sent in Hague, and they gave some huge popularity even among internationals, and with this they want to compromise to make a little to show Haradinaj is in another light, like part of a criminal family gang which is involved in some revenge in local level. Other thing is that his family has some blood, revenge things in local with local clans.
Yeah.
There was afterwards a couple of incidents between Haradinaj's family and some other families, Musai, and maybe it is just part of this. 2 months ago, one Musai was killed. With people said in that time in police that that was other type of case, but I don't know. And third, that even some other political forces or extremists wants to have something against the Haradinaj coalition between Rubova and IK, and they want to destabilize the situation. But no, they're just speculations, nothing, we don't know anything about. And, it is, I have to say, it is not mainstream event. It is a serious incident, maybe it's linked with plans of extremist groups, extremist mafia, and other political groups, which wants to destabilize Kosovo to show that Kosovo is not prepared for independence, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. We have to see this.
Yeah. And you went to Albania, and you are working on a report, and I heard the elections are postponed now because nobody knew what is going on and who will be elected.
No, they have, they must organize elections in the beginning of the July. It is just, the problem is when, if they will be in which week of first or second week of July or maybe end of June. It is just a matter of, they are preparing everything, laws, new list of voters. They have in the past some problems with lists of voters, with some other procedures, mm-hmm. which was not perfect. And now they are trying to have better laws, better procedures. Mm-hmm. There was also OSCE and other people was engaged in this.
Yeah.
And but still, there is a kind of insecurity who will win. Mm-hmm. They have two main political forces and two leaders which are fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a serious threat in some period of time on what will happen if. Again, socialists will win, and this Democratic Party and leader Sali Berisha is a bit nervous. And there is no real alternative, only one new party was formed of ex Prime Minister Ilir Meta. He has aspirations to become third party, maybe to have decisive role in coalitions.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot win immediately, but maybe.
Yeah.
And we worked a kind of opinion pool, the first mm-hmm. opinion pool, to show what people think on next election. But it is nothing. It is too early to predict. There is still space for some people to change their mind or to see,
yeah.
Because they are very the English system of voting. The parliament with 140 seats, 100 is in direct election majority. Which candidate is elected when he has a simple majority, mm-hmm. 30-35%, if he has more vote than other candidates, he is going directly in there is no ballotage in parliament. Mm-hmm. And 40% is by this from this party list for proportional system of voting, and there's many unclear, many questions: who will win, how will it go after that,
mm.
Albania, and this. We until now we have no, how to say, close relations with Albania. They have lived for many years, for many decades separately. Now slowly we are sharing at least experiences. Our institute is for humanistic studies. We have some experience in elections here in Kosovo, and we want to make even there a survey with a representative sample to see if we can predict results of elections in high probability, as we done a couple of times here.
Yeah.
This is our goal. And we'll see if we find, interest or to cooperate with political parties or bloc there or independent organizations in the future, because we are this doing mostly, it's not only scientific interest, but literally the commercial interest, small commercial interest just to, mm-hmm. to survive in these conditions. Yeah.
Okay. And you're working as an art critic here as well, and so what do you think, what is the condition now of the cultural activities and the constitution of cultural, new cultural public sphere?
Well, we have this, how to say, official scene, pretty controlled by university, by domestic institutions, not only now, even before. And this was a small scene, very provincial, very traditional, very conservative in the past. Mm-hmm. In the 90s, when I worked as program officer and director of Soros Foundation in Pristina, a bunch of officers, this rich guy from States, mm-hmm. I started to support this alternative art events, alternative scene, mostly visual arts, but also some other arts. And in visual arts, there was a very successful generation in the 90s. I organized the first exhibition of Kosovo art in Belgrade in 1997 as kind of political provocation. Mm-hmm. It was art event, but even in the same time political provocation both for Belgrade scene, which was full of extreme nationalism, and also for local scene here in Pristina, which was cultivate only all the fashion type of arts, and we want to show that this big generation of artists like Sokol Beciri, Mehmet Beluli, and there was another guy which now is living in Brussels, Maxi Bezgishi, and one compositor, Hile Bay. They was brave to show their works in Belgrade and to provoke this scene, to say, okay, we are Albanians. Mm. There was a kind of action against Serbian racism even. After that, this generation became pretty recognized in the region, firstly. After that, and even in abroad, they participate in many elections, and even in late 90s, there was the Donna Gallery, small space here, which promoted also some other young artists like Erzsé Skolódi, Albert Heta. And after war, me and Mehmet Beluli, we started to organize also some courses for talented young artists in Center for 26 Study in Bobby, and we have also one very successful generation, especially in video art, with Jakub Perry, Breton Aretina, Ilezim, Zichiri, Dan Malic, and some other guys, which was very successful in art, and now this is a kind of we are working supported by German Cultural Foundation. We are organizing new cyclus of courses with young artists, mostly 20-21 years old. Yeah. In frameworks of these missing identity projects, and I'm also giving some lectures here and working with dance young artists, mostly in their expression and their understanding of what is new and alternative art.
Ja, nach dem Gespräch mit Skeljan Malici kommt jetzt das Gespräch noch mit Lulietta Bonici. Sie ist Direktor des Kosovo Gender Studies Institute. Und Sie haben jetzt dort zum Beispiel einen Reader herausgebracht, Studieren Gender Studies heißt dieser Reader, herausgegeben von Nita Luji und Linda Guzia, in dem Sie einige bekannte Autorinnen wie Bell Hooks, Sherry Ordner, Emily Martin, Jennifer Matasaul, Gerda Lerner, Gail Klickmann, Verena Dax, Das, Julie Mertus, Peggy Watson, Christa Wichterich, Anne Brooks übersetzt haben, also diese Texte ins Albanische übersetzt haben, um damit sozusagen zu arbeiten. Dann gibt es dort auch noch eine Veröffentlichung der NGOs für Frauen sozusagen im Kosovo, Reports über die Situation der Frauen aktuell. Und sie beschreibt jetzt noch kurz die Arbeit in diesem Gender Studies Institut in Pristina.
Yeah, what is going on with your research here at the Kosovo Gender Studies Institute?
Yeah, I'll try. First, the center is a spin-off of the program that used to work inside Soros Foundation, Women's Program Soros Foundation. And actually, this center was established in beginning of 2003. And they worked, a bit on mostly on media monitoring and publishing the journal, women journal, on different articles that were translated mainly by different international authors, but also some articles on gender and women issues that are local, written by local women. But when the board of the Soros Foundation, where I used to work for 11 years, decided that a women program could be developed and spin-offed into this center, then we changed a bit the the mission and the vision of the center. And our vision is to mainstream gender in all aspects of life. It's huge. It's like broad thing. And how we think that we could achieve this vision is through developing gender studies. So I started, this center actually with this mission and vision started working from last year, October 2004 until now, so it's a very short period of time, but we started immediately recruiting staff and then started with projects. Until now, we published the directorium of women NGO that are operating in Kosovo, together with an annotated bibliography of all reports and research that is done from 1999 until 2004 on women gender issues in Kosovo. We launched it, and we also parallelly did the translation of main articles on gender issues, on women issues that are published by, done by very famous authors, world famous authors and theorists. And it's also launched 2 weeks ago. Yes, it's very very fresh, very hot.
Hot, yes.
Still, by two editors, Nita Luzi and Linda Guzia. Nita is an MA she finished her MA on gender studies in New York University, and now she's teaching at the Pristina University gender studies. She's doing a course on gender studies in the Department of Sociology.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the other one, Nita Luzzi, she's a PhD candidate on University of Massachusetts in New York, in States, sorry. They, choose the articles that could be useful for the students of the University of Pristina, and they also did some translation.
Yeah.
But they also gave to different people to translate different articles, and we gathered them together and published it. And I think that people get very much interested, especially students, but also the professors, because this literature is lacking in Kosovo. I mean, translated one. Books in English are lacking here. Libraries are not so furnished with this kind of literature at all. Knowing that, we also tried, and we are buying this literature around the world. I was recently in the World Conference in New York, UN World Conference Beijing Plus 10, and I used this opportunity together with my colleague and bought as much as we could books for our library, which is open to the university students and all the people, researchers, new journalists, and all people that are interested in these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
Currently, we are about, the survey that we Jehona Djurdjala did on how women vote in Kosovo is in the phase of publishing.
Yeah.
It's done, it's finished. The field work, the analysis, everything is finished. Now we are waiting to be published, and very soon we are going to launch the results. This research, we thought it's very important to have the opinions, reflections of women voters on what do they think about politics, what do they expect from politicians, what do they need from politicians. We've got very interesting answers on. It's a random sample, it's a quantitative survey. We had the sample of 1,020 something women that we surveyed all over Kosovo, mm-hmm. including non-Albanian women and Serb women.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this survey will really serve to all policymakers and to politicians, to all people that are interested in seeing, because we have more than 50% of the voters are women,
mm-hmm.
and never assess what they really think about. How do they vote? How are their preferences? What are their priorities?
Mm-hmm.
For any serious strategy, we need to have this information on.
Mm.
So I think, recommendations that came out of the results and the analysis that we did are, I think that somebody would use. Also, we think that this research that we did will use other researchers on, and focus on different topics that we touched, that we assessed a bit. But if we want to go in depth of the findings that that occur from this survey, it's a good basis.
Yeah.
To be used by other researchers to do more focused and more in-depth research.
Yeah. So, how would you describe the situation of women in Kosovo? What is their life situation? So, Could you say what will be the priorities for politicians?
The survey is not, the findings are not yet been published, but I can say something like the top priorities of women. First, guess what? The independence of Kosovo. The second priority is economy.
Mm-hmm.
Third is education.
Yeah.
And fourth is security, which is very much linked to the education. Mm-hmm. When they say security, they mainly mean they have to be safe in order to go to schools, because often in rural areas mainly schools are very far away.
Yeah.
So they drop school mainly because of the safety reasons.
Uh-huh.
So these are the priorities of the women in Kosovo that we saw from the survey.
Yeah.
Well, there are more information about it, but I think that very soon you will get the copy of the entire research.
Yeah. You said the study on the women movement. That is another.
Yes. It's another study. It's a long period of women. When we have the first, the first rise of the first. Mobilization of women in Kosovo. It's, we can say, like, it's 80s. These are 80s. And until now, we have very small, not to say not enough, documented the role that they played in this period of time. There are some fragments here and there, but not comprehensive and, in one place. We have their oral history, but we don't have their documented history. So we think that it's very important to research it and to bring it to the light of the day, and their history, which is very rich, and their role is very important in this very difficult period of time of Kosovars that is not known by people, we just want to write their history, to document their history, and to use and educate younger generations on their role in civil society, in politics, and economy and culture.
Yeah.
We are now parallelly doing research on the role of women in civil society, which is very rich and important, and their role in politics. This is this year task for this research.
Mm-hmm.
And next year, hopefully, we are going to do this two other sectors, which are very important also, and very interesting in economy and culture.
Yeah.
These are going to be published as books.
Mm-hmm.
With data, analyses, and their stories.
Mm-hmm. Life history stories?
Well, life history, of course, because especially yesterday, for example, we had a very important and one of the earliest activists on women's rights who was talking about first women's groups rising in the 80s. And she was talking about all the time about their activities in public that they did.
Mm.
All the time. Not speaking, she was just once saying a sequence on their private life or private sphere.
Uh-huh.
We want to have them both, you know, and especially the momentum of women coming from private sphere going to the public sphere. That momentum is very important because you need a kind of a mobilization and strength and the idea to say it's enough in this sphere. We want to be public.
Yeah.
And we want to act. I mean, because the need is there, and we want to be integrated into the nation's effort towards peace at that time, we want to be active and be part of the whole process and be part of every sector of their lives.
Ja, das war jetzt das Interview mit Lulietta Bonici, und zwar Kosovo Gender Studies Institute. Diese Sendung kann man dann hören nochmal am 13.06. Ich meine, das ist ja heute. Am 1.07. um 14 Uhr. Am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Felicia Herrschaft. Bis dann.